The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Chase Young and the Washington football team are pumped for their NFC wildcard contest with Tampa. He was heard saying, "I want Tom."
He's a hell of a player. Yeah, we'll have our hands full, but it's one of those games where you better watch what you wish for.
How big a game is this for Tom Brady? Is this a forgotten season if he loses? This, by the way, is this the biggest game of Lamar Jackson's career? And if Lamar loses this one, is there concern about his ability to lead the Ravens? Forget about to the Super Bowl. How about out of the first round of the playoffs? Look, the fact of the matter is there are quarterbacks under pressure in these playoffs. And that includes Aaron Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes that they're not playing this weekend. But of every quarterback playing this weekend, including Lamar Jackson, who I'm going to get to in a second, there's more pressure on Tom Brady than anyone else. There's the most pressure on Tom Brady. Let me explain. I know he's the GOAT, and he's won 6 Super Bowls. And by the way, he had another fantastic season. He's turning 167 years old next year, and he had another fantastic season. And by the way, at this moment, who looks better, Brady or Belichick? It went back and forth this year, right? The bottom line is Belichick did a great job coaching, I thought. Won 7 games with nothing. But Brady won 11 games. He was set up to look good, but he looked good. Just because it's set up that way doesn't mean you have to look good. And he exceeded, I think, even optimistic expectations. Look, there were some people, they're going to win 12 or 13 games. It wasn't like that. But you win 11 games. That's a hell of a season. First time in a new place. Offensive system, the exact opposite of how you've played in recent years. And he did a fantastic job, and the Bucs are really good. But that's the point. The Bucs are really good. You know who they're playing? Week 1 of the playoffs. You know who they have this weekend? A sub-500 team. They have the worst team in the playoffs in Washington. They have a team that I really think is only in the playoffs because Philadelphia, like, the reason Washington's in the playoffs is because Philly's head coach, Doug Peterson, pulled such a move that people like me are like, he needs to be fired. And it's not just because I'm a Giants fan. Washington's fortunate. Maybe Washington wins the game anyway, but I don't know. I tend to think Jalen Hurts gets it done. Remember when Washington was up 10-0 and it looked like that Philly was just going to roll over? Hurts wasn't having it. That's why he got pulled from the game in the fourth quarter. There was a chance he could win. And that's why Washington, otherwise they're a 6-win team, right? And the Giants get in as a 6-win team. No, that's the worst team in the playoffs, the Washington football franchise. And Tom Brady is peaking at the right time. He's got the team peaking at the right time. I give Brady just as much credit as I give Arians. You got to give him credit for this. It's not coincidence that the Bucs are coming together at just the right time. No, give Brady credit, but that's the point. The Bucs have a defense. The Bucs have a quarterback. The Bucs have an offense. The Bucs have a coach. The Bucs have an embarrassment of riches on offense. Brady even has his security blanket and Rob Gronkowski. And what does Washington have? A quarterback who was going to retire and then didn't retire, and maybe he was going to have to retire because of an injury, but comes back, but then he gets hurt again. Another quarterback who was a first-round pick who's gone. They're like, no, see you later. We don't want you. Washington has a defense, it's true. And any given Sunday, but that's the point. If Brady loses in the first round to a sub-500 team without Belichick as his head coach, oh, wait a minute, Brady. You got Evans and Godwin and Everett Gronkowski and multiple tight ends, and you got a coach, you got a defense, you got everything you need. You can't beat Washington, a nameless franchise literally with a sub-500 record and no real quarterback to speak of? Got to win that game if you're Tom Brady, because what is this season really about in the long term? One of the great debates of the 21st century in sports. Was it more Belichick or was it more Brady? In fact, I'm willing to say that's the number one debate in sports in the 21st century, because it's all happened in the 21st century, right? Turn of the century is really the first 20 years of this century were about the Patriots. And the great question was it more Belichick or was it more Brady? Brady can't lose in the first round to the Washington football franchise. He can't do it. Well, he's already the GOAT and this and that. All right. Once upon a time, do you know who Tom Brady was before there was a Tom Brady? Or rather, who was Tom Brady before Tom Brady? Tom Brady, the original Tom Brady's name was Joe Montana. And by the way, back in the old days, the GOAT had the decency to look like a regular guy, Joe Montana. He didn't look like a male supermodel. Joe Montana, you could have a beer with him, you know? Tom Brady, give me a break. Anyway, the point is, Joe Montana was to Marino as Brady was to Peyton Manning. You knew Montana was in a better situation with a better coach. You knew he was the guy you really wanted to have with the chips on the line. But you suspected he was lucky to be with Joe Walsh. And that had Marino been with Joe Walsh, there wouldn't have been a comparison, right? Because Dan Marino was putting up numbers. And when you just the eyeball test, you're like, ooh, that dude has different kind of talent. And by the way, that was like Brady and Peyton Manning. What did I say? Bill Walsh. What did I say? I'm hearing in my ear I said something other than Bill Walsh. I said Joe Walsh. Okay.
You said Bill Joe Walsh. Doesn't Joe Walsh
play? I've got my wires crossed and done that all day today.
Yeah.
Bill Walsh, the 49ers head coach, of course. Sorry. So Walsh revolutionized the game and all that with his offense, and Montana was the beneficiary. It seemed, right? Just like Brady with Peyton Manning. If Peyton Manning had Belichick, could you imagine? And Brady just kept winning and winning, and Montana just kept winning and winning. But Montana eventually got the boot because they had Steve Young waiting in the wings, and Steve Young was growing old waiting for Montana to get out of there. And he was one of the all-time greats, right? And everyone knew it, the best backup in football by far. Young went on to win a Super Bowl. Well, what did Montana do when he left Bill Walsh and the 49ers? Took the Chiefs to the AFC Championship game. As soon as he lands in another spot, they're in the AFC Championship game. Not that the Niners also didn't have success with Steve Young, but Montana showed, guys, I was going to be great wherever I went. And if anything, added to his legacy. Imagine if Tom Brady leaves Bill Belichick, and because coaches can keep coaching, right? Belichick won 7 games with nothing on the team. What happens when he has something on the team? Tom Brady on this loaded team goes out in the first round? It's bad, man. That's the number one sports debate of the 21st century. Was it more Brady or was it more Belichick? And I'm watching that. I know a lot of people, oh, no, that's not. Believe me, that's the story. When you tell the story of this era, you hear the narrator's voice, that's going to be the storyline. Brady or Belichick? No, there's huge pressure on Tom Brady in these playoffs. Now, Lamar Jackson, for sure. Lamar Jackson, I'm the one who's pointed it out consistently. Everyone's like, well, you can't beat good teams. No, he's beaten plenty of good teams. Lamar Jackson could beat good teams. The question is, can he win? Can Lamar lead you to victory when the lights are shining brightest? When you play Pittsburgh with Roethlisberger? Nope, lost. When you play the Chiefs with Mahomes, right? If you're in the AFC, you got to beat Mahomes and the Chiefs. If you're in the AFC North, got to beat Roethlisberger and the Steelers. Can't do it. In the AFC, you got to beat the Chiefs. Can't do it. 0-3. 0-1 against Roethlisberger Steelers, 0-3 against the Chiefs. If you want to win a Super Bowl, you got to win in the playoffs, right? 0-2. 0-6. Dude almost never loses otherwise. Beating plenty of good teams. Not just the good teams. It's when the lights shine brightest. So Lamar, playing the Tennessee team that's already beaten him this year, that knocked him out of the playoffs last season, Lamar Jackson playing those guys on the road, he's under pressure, no question. But Lamar has time. He can lose this game, and I'm not saying there's not pressure to win, but even if he loses it, presumably he will be back in this situation probably next season. Tom Brady's turning 167 next year. How do you know that this might be the best chance he has to prove his point? It's not just TB12. He wants to play till he's 45 to sell his products. It's not just, well, I still love the game. Come on. Why does he split from Belichick and pick the Bucks of all places? Tampa, really? Why does he pick Tampa? Because he's set up for success in Tampa. That's why. it's actually a bigger game this weekend for Tom Brady against Washington than Lamar Jackson against Tennessee. Marcus Spears, I didn't know you were waiting there. NFL analyst, of course, on ESPN on the Goodyear Hotline. Marcus, you there?
Yeah, I'm glad somebody told you. Dang. What's up, man?
It's about time. I'm tap dancing, waiting for you to come on, and you're sitting right there. Marcus, who is this weekend, like who has the biggest game this weekend of every player in the NFL? Who is facing the most important game this weekend?
Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson, and it's not even close. Max, is because Max, I said the wrong name. Tom Brady, my bad. It's because of his age, all the things you just mentioned.
I was about to, hey, I thought we were going to have a good debate just now. Of course it's Tom Brady.
Yeah. No, man, no. I see it exactly how you see it. But I see it, too, from the standpoint of, you know, all of the talk, obviously, about him leaving Belichick. But more than that, like, can we acknowledge that he signed a two-year deal with Tampa, was supposed to be a significant upgrade over Jameis Winston, and he did not go to Tampa not to win a Super Bowl. Like, we could all think that he went to Tampa to try to prove that he is better without Bill Belichick, or that it was more him. But the real reason Tom Brady went there, and the real reason you kind of closed the book on who was more responsible, is to win a Super Bowl. That's the bottom line. So, yeah, it's Brady. A big part of it is Father Time, obviously. And another part of it is that you don't have, like, Lamar Jackson, for all intents and purposes, is responsible for the majority of his team's success. And it will be blame on him, but it'll also be blame on Greg Roman. It'll be blame on whatever other offensive unit didn't show up the way they were supposed to show up. If the Tampa Bay Buccaneers don't win the Super Bowl, it's going to be because of Tom Brady. Now, we might mention Byron Leftwich and mention Bruce Arians, but the conversation is going to revolve around Tom Brady went to Tampa and couldn't get it done.
You know, I think that's exactly right. And I think there's also something about the team facing the lesser challenge is under more pressure. Right? Like, you're expected to win. If you're facing the worst team in the playoffs, you're facing a team with 7 wins, and maybe the only reason they even had 7 wins or are in the playoffs is because the team playing them on the final week of the season pulled their starter, right? Or maybe they're not even in the playoffs, and you're facing a 6-win team. But when you're facing that franchise, doesn't even have a name right now, right? The Washington franchise, Stephen A. always makes fun of them for that. They don't even have a name, but he's right. Like, it's a franchise in disarray until this year. You're expected to win. You're hosting them. You are a complete team, top to bottom, offense, defense. I was mentioning all the offensive weapons. I didn't even mention A.B. Antonio Brown, one of the greatest players who ever played the game. I didn't even mention him. They have so many guys you got to get through on that offense. You got to win that game. Whereas the Ravens, they got their work cut out for them. They're facing a team that seems to have their number. They beat them in the playoffs. They beat them this year. Derrick Henry's running like crazy. Tannehill's really good. I think there's more pressure on the quarterback facing the lesser team.
Max, you absolutely. Like absolutely. I mean, look, Lamar Jackson got his pressure, but his pressure revolves around previous playoff situations. His pressure doesn't revolve around,
right,
how many more chances is he going to have to do it? And then, too, to your point, like, the way we all killed the NFC East, and you telling me Brady exits against the Washington football team in week one, that's Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay right now is in the playoffs, right? And that's the one goal you need in order to deem the season a success. But go lose to the Washington football team and hear how fast of a disaster this season was. We ain't going to remember that they went to the playoffs. We ain't going to remember that they won 11 games, 10 games, whatever it is. What we going to remember is they lost to the best team in the NFC East and the NFL per se, and Tom Brady was leading those guys. So it's all pretty much predicated on not only Tom Brady, but it's also predicated on the situation that both of these guys are in. Like, we know Tennessee can be a good team. We know Tennessee has shown to have the ability to be one of those teams we talk about as far as being as good as any other team in the league outside of their defense. But, you know, Tom losing to Washington football team, bro, it's a failure. The season was a failure, even with all of the good things that transpired.
Marcus, I got 30 seconds to a minute on each of these topics. I want to get through them with you right now. Do the Browns have a shot without Stefanski, who will not be able to coach due to COVID, against the Steelers at Pittsburgh?
Max, I hate to say that they don't have a shot, man. I mean, you know, it's one of those things where you try to determine, like, what's the biggest drawback, right? Like, Baker can still ball. The running game can still have some success, even though Batonio, the big offensive guard, is out. A lot of things can happen, I guess, in regards to having success in the outing. My only issue, bro, is the feel of the game. Like, when those critical decisions need to be made, that critical play, that critical third down, you know, it's not just about the particular talent. It's about putting that talent in a great spot, right? Like, and that's what we've lauded about Kevin Stefanski, is that he's seen for the majority of the year outside of the Jets game to have the answers for Baker Mayfield, for this offense, even in close games, even in tight games, he seemed to dial things up the right way. So, man, I can't say they don't have a chance because it's NFL football. But the degree of difficulty that they're going to have trying to beat a team with Kevin Stefanski on the sideline and vying to get into the playoffs, and you only beat them by two, without Big Ben playing, without T.J. Watt, Cam Hayward, it's a tall task, man. It's gonna take a special performance from Baker Mayfield, but also this defense. And you know,
that's the drama, Baker Mayfield. That's yep. That's the drama. I mean, on defense, of course, but, you know, the Steelers have such a hard time running the ball. But can Baker make enough plays to win this thing without his guy there, without Stefanski there? Real quick, we have about 30 seconds. What's the best job opening in the NFL at head coach, Marcus?
Los Angeles Chargers. Just
over the Texans with Deshaun Watson?
Yeah, but we all know the issues in Houston, Max. We all know that they don't have any draft picks.
Yep.
They got to figure out a way to get some offensive talent. The defense is horrible. They got to figure out a way to upgrade players on that side of the ball as well. And they got to make coaching decisions. With the Chargers, you
No, I'm with you. I think it's the Chargers. You're in L.A. You got Justin Herbert. I think you're right, Marcus.
Yeah, Max, but even think about this. Like, you not only have Justin Herbert, you have Keenan Allen, who's already signed long-term. So you got your number one receiver.
Yep.
You got Mike Williams as well. You got Austin Ekeler, who was injured, who I think is a really good back. And you got stalwarts on defense. You know, Bosa's there. Melvin Ingram is there. People forget Derwin James was injured, but he was trending towards being one of the top safeties in the NFL, you know, when we looked at how he played.
You're right. You got premium playmakers.
Everywhere.
Your premium playmakers on defense. You're right. High end. Yep. All right. That was Marcus Spears, ladies and gentlemen. We're up against it. Marcus, thank you very much. Sorry for the awkward goodbye. I blame that on Raj. Join us on the Goodyear Hotline, the great Marcus Spears. Of course, you can check him out. He's all over the place. You can see him on Get Up, on First Take, on NFL Live, here on the Max Kellerman Show. Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. ALA. McVay is at it again.
Max, the podcast.
People are listening,
that's though. Bill Walsh and his band, huh? What? I don't get it. You're trying to tell a joke. Listen, you can reach me at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Raj, who's my producer based in L.A., this is the COVID days, so I'm in New York, he's in L.A., and we're, you know, talking with a slight delay and over Zoom. Sean McVay is at it again. He's at it again. Who will start at quarterback for the Rams? In the playoffs? That should be an easy question to answer. The number one overall pick in the draft, to whom the team handed over a $100 million plus contract and has quarterbacked them to a Super Bowl. Jared Goff. Or his backup, Wolford, right? Who's going to be the quarterback? Is now the time to play it coy? Because Sean McVay, Rams head coach, made it known on Tuesday during his press conference that he will not be answering the question of who will start for the Rams at quarterback this week. Goff reportedly was able to get some snaps in during Tuesday's practice, so that's the good news. However, game day will be roughly 12 days removed from having surgery on his thumb, so expectations should be tempered. But you know what you could say if you're McVay? Obviously, if Jared is good to go, he's our quarterback. You could say that. If he has said that, I haven't heard it. Right? Isn't that a no-brainer? If Goff is good to go, he's the quarterback, right? Or does the hot hand keep the ball? I'll just remind everybody, the Rams franchise, it wasn't heading into the playoffs, but experienced something. You talk about Kurt Warner getting his job, the way he got his job, but Kurt Warner also lost his job when he was the MVP of the league, the best player in football maybe, the orchestrator of the greatest show on turf, got hurt. And Mark Bulger, who no one thought was great, but everyone thought he was solid. But the Rams were winning with Bulger. They were like 8-0, I want to say. This was the year that the Bucs won the Super Bowl. That Chucky, the John Gruden, beat the Raiders. So what was this? 03? 02? 03? And Mark Bulger won 8 straight games, and the Rams, like, you know, Kurt Warner got healthy. They were like, sorry, we're going to stay with this guy. That's the way it works in the NFL. It's crazy like that. It doesn't work like that in any other sport. No other sport. If a star baseball or football, or sorry, basketball player goes down, but now he comes back and he's healthy and he's ready to go, they never tell that guy, but the guy who replaced you, it's not that we think he's better than you. It's working right now, so you're just going to sit on the bench. Oof. Joseph in Texas, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, Max, how you doing? I just had a question about you know how you're talking about Peterson and the decision he made in the fourth quarter to set Hurts down?
Yep.
What is the main difference in competition-wise with what Pittsburgh or Kansas City did? You know?
Oh, you want, okay, that's a perfectly fair question with a very simple explanation, with a very easy answer. The difference is, in a game that was flexed to primetime, because they had playoff implications for the division, you're playing a divisional rival, and whether you win or lose will determine whether that team you are playing goes to the playoffs. If you beat them, they are not, or another divisional rival goes to the playoffs. If you lose, the team you're playing goes to the playoffs. If you win, you keep them out of the playoffs, and another divisional rival goes. That's why it was flexed to primetime. And in that game, in the fourth quarter of a one-score game, remember, he opted not to kick the field goal to go for it. I'm not even going to kill him about that. The only chance you had to win was to leave your quarterback that you selected in the second round. You spent a second-round pick. You didn't use it to trade up to get DeAndre Hopkins for Carson Wentz. You didn't use it to package, to move up to get CeeDee Lamb or whoever was considered the best receiver in the draft. You kept it to draft a quarterback because you thought it may come to this given Carson Wentz's regression, and it did. And now you need to know, is this the guy? Well, you're in prime time. Let's find out. Is he the guy? Is Jalen Hurts the guy? Can he get it done? No. You'd rather evaluate the third string quarterback? That's nonsense. Is it so important to move up from 6 to 9 in the draft that you do something as anti-competitive as that? No. No, no. The Chiefs are totally different. The Chiefs have the division wrapped up. There are no implications for, you know, like, it's all wrapped up. It frequently happens at the end of the season. If you have a playoff spot wrapped up, you rest everyone. I can't remember it happening where a divisional rival has a chance to play spoiler and in the fourth quarter sits down their quarterback that they need to find out about going forward. To do what? To move up 3 spots in the draft? I would even understand if Trevor Lawrence was sitting there for the Jets and they had to go winless and they somehow managed to almost win a game and they're like, uh-oh, we're risking a generational talent who can totally transform our franchise. Let's say the Jets were not playing in a game with divisional playoff implications, right? Okay, I get it. A lot of people would argue with me there. No, you still can't. No, 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 I get that. This was not that.
Max, the podcast.
This is supposed to be last take right now on the Max Kellerman Show, but as this radio show has been going on over the last, I guess, about a half an hour or so, there are violent insurrectionists in the state capitol, armed, and storming the buildings based on false propaganda that an election was stolen, which every single court has said is ridiculous, as has all unbiased media. There has been an attempted steal of an election, but not the people that they're blaming. Anyway, the point is that it feels odd to be talking about sports at a time like this. But I bring this up on a sports show because, first of all, it's really happening in the world. And secondly, LeBron James was talking about, you know, the latest failure to prosecute a police officer over the killing of a black man who they're claiming was going for a knife but appeared on video to be unarmed. And we talked about it on First Take today. I talked about how, you know, times are changing in the sense that there was just a special election in Georgia where 2 senators were elected, one of them a black man, Reverend Warnock, who ran against Kelly Loeffler, who is the owner of the Atlanta Dream, the WNBA team, who came out against Black Lives Matter. And it got to the point where her own team, the players on her own team, were wearing T-shirts saying, "Vote Warnock," who won the election in the Deep South, a black man. And so when you contextualize what's going on, even as it relates to sports, this is a sports show, you can see the anger and the frustration and the indignation felt, and Dominique Foxworth expressed this on First Take today, ESPN's own Dominique Foxworth, when people recall not that all that long ago, peaceful protesters, many of them people of color, outside the White House were fired upon with tear gas and rubber bullets in order that Trump could go across the street and have a photo op at a church. But here, armed insurrectionists attempting a coup of the federal government storm the building and somehow are able to gain access to the Capitol and, by the way, brought a Confederate flag inside. And I think many people will recognize the fact that it's hard to prove a counterfactual, right? But just imagine for a second if those were black protesters, if those protesters were African American and armed and attacking the Capitol building, what would happen? Do you think they would gain access? Or do you think they would be met with deadly force? That's what so many of the players in the NBA and in the sports world, that's the kind of stuff that they're reacting to now. Colin Kaepernick's protest was narrowly about police interactions with communities of color. And this is not the first time, by the way, armed insurrectionists have stormed a Capitol building, because they stormed a state Capitol building not all that long ago and were able to gain access to it. And here, the Capitol building in Washington, D.C., they're able to gain access. And I said at the time, when it was a state Capitol building, imagine if the protesters were armed and African-American. Do you think they would ever gain access, or would they be met with deadly force? So, narrowly, Colin Kaepernick's protest was about police interaction with communities of color. And you can see why there's so much anger about it. But broadly, it was about social justice. Broadly, it was about the kind of inequities that persist in our society, whose roots can be traced back to slavery, the original sin of this country, and whose pernicious effects continue to this very day. Obviously, very serious business going on in the real world right now. And incidentally, these insurrectionists are there in order to stop the certification of an election, which we're, in spite of claims of fraud, all those claims were completely debunked. There was no, and every claim, every time they were looked into it and recounted votes, they found, nope, nothing would change this election. And now, because these insurrectionists can't get their way, because they feel a loss of power, they're trying to insist on their way anyway. Just imagine if they were black. That's what Colin Kaepernick was talking about. That's what LeBron James is talking about. And that's what I'm talking about. Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. See you tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to The Max Kellerman Show. Make sure you subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, or wherever you stream your audio.